2 Peter chapter 2. You love the Word of God?
Amen.
That Word of God will help you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know the process that your body goes through when you eat bread and meat and things like that, and potatoes and carrots and fried okra and catfish and all that? When you put all that stuff in your mouth, how many of you know the process that your body does to process all that food and make it nourish your body? Does anybody know how that all works? Let me ask you a question. Do you have to know how all that works? No. All you got to do is eat it. God designed your body to take care of it in a natural way. Okay? And there's something that I think is not stated enough. If we have the bread of life here before us, you don't have to understand every little page and every little corner and every little verse in the Bible about how all it works. You just got to eat it. Amen? You eat it and let it do what it's supposed to do to begin with. Somebody say amen. But I like understanding. If you're like me, you have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. I'm asking God stuff all the time. God, this doesn't make sense. God, I need help with that. God's good to God. He'll answer our questions. In 2 Peter chapter 2, there are false prophets everywhere. And God is showing us how to spot them, how to know what they can do, how to understand how they speak and so on, and how God is going to take care of them one of these days. Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Myers and Mike Murdoch and all these others, one of these days the money's going to run out. Okay? One of these days they're going to be standing before God naked and ashamed and not have all that money and the wealth and the planes and everything else that they got. And they're going to have to answer to God. And that's what we're dealing with right now. He said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." But he's going to go back and describe the nature and the character of these false teachers and these false prophets. He says in verse 10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." What that means is they hate areas of authority. They will despise it. You don't have to listen very long to Joyce Myers to realize she despises areas of authority other than hers. Okay? She likes her own authority. And I know a man that has been acquaintances of people that have worked for her. And he tells me, I know it's kind of third-hand information, but he tells me that she is not a nice person to work for. Okay? And I believe it. She despises everybody's authority except her own. But anyway, they despise government. And then it says, presumptuous are they. And I want you to think about that word. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And I want to go back in the time that we have tonight in verse 10. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And I was thinking about that today and praying about it and just kind of pondering that, and I can remember there were several lists given to us throughout the New Testament of what it means about the works of the flesh or the lust of the flesh or the uncleanness of the flesh. And I'm going to run through those with you tonight. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. We're going to be in Romans 1, the book of Mark, Galatians, Romans again. Well, Paul nailed it in the book of Romans. But in Romans chapter 1, when Peter said, "Them that walk after the flesh," what does the flesh do? What is the flesh capable of? I've been following some bloggers on the internet that are kind of going back and forth over this Duggar deal. And there's some people saying, look, he's a sinner. He's a sinner like everybody else is. He needs Christ. He's been forgiven of that. God washes all sins away. He wants to serve the Lord. Then there's another guy that I'm watching. I'm just shaking my head. He's got it in his mind that there are certain people that commit certain sins. They're not even capable of being saved. God hates every one of them. They cannot be redeemed. They should not have the gospel preached to them. It's a waste of time and so on. I just look at it and going, who do you think you are anyway? Because I'm going to read you a list of sins that Christ died for every one of them. He died for every one of them. There is, to my knowledge, still to this day, only one unpardonable sin, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But these lists that I'm going to read to you tonight, more than likely, in fact, I won't say more than likely, absolutely, without any doubt in my mind, you're guilty of many of the things that I'm going to read here tonight. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Are you there? Say amen. Well, that was a weak amen. It was getting better. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Think about it now. Think about this Bible. Think about who you are. Being filled with unrighteousness, all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Boy, that just covers a lot of stuff, doesn't it? Covetousness. Again, I've taught this many times before. The 10th commandment is by no means the least of them. It's not like you've got to get through all these other ones to get to that one. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that belongs to thy neighbor. You're not to covet. We covet with our eyes. When we see things, we see our neighbor's house, we say, boy, I'd like to have that house. Maybe that'd be a nice house. Maybe I'd get my house like that. That's covetousness. We're setting our eyes on things of this world and not on things of God. We look at men or we look at women and we lust after them. It's just like an immediate thought in our mind. That stuff happens. And I've said this before. You might be pretty good at keeping 9 of the commandments, but you try not lusting after something in this way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like dirty lust, like looking after a woman or looking on a man. There are other things that he mentioned in that list that people can lust after. And he said, don't do it. It's covetousness. Paul said it's idolatry. You're setting your eyes on something and you're wanting that and you're willing to serve that. And he said it's idolatry. But he said even covetousness is on that list. Maliciousness. Doing things to people out of spite because you think they deserve it. You're going to get them back for it. Full of envy. Think about that. Have you ever been envious of somebody? Somebody makes more money than you at your job. You think, well, I work harder than they do. I should get more money than they are. You're envious. Paul said that's wickedness, that's unrighteousness, murders. You say, bless God, I never killed anybody. I'm going to say something that's going to be right. If you hate your brother, John said it was murder. When you consent with those who murder unborn babies, that's murder. Your hands got blood on them. Debaters. People that can't shut their mouth. Every time something comes up, they've got to inject their idea. They've got to try to prove everybody else wrong and them right. They're debaters. They cannot pass it up. Deceivers. They're full of deceit. They lie to you. They try to cover things up. Malignity. You know what that is? We apply that word to a cancerous tumor. It's malignant. It means it's dangerous. It's spreading. And your wickedness is spread to other people. That's kind of what I see there. Whisperers. That's an easy one to figure it out, isn't it? You know, now we do it electronically. We private message people on Facebook. We don't want everybody else to see what we're saying about somebody else. You're still whispering. Backbiters goes along with whispering. You're cutting everybody down behind their back. You're nice to them to their face, but behind their back you say, yeah, but you know, she did this or he did this. He's like this. Or did you see what he did? Or he said this to me the other day. And I don't think that's right. Paul said it's wicked. All unrighteousness. Haters of God, despiteful. Again, they do things just to spite people, just to get them. Proud. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Boasters, inventors of evil things. We have a wicked imagination, and we're constantly trying to figure out ways that we can sin. Well, this Bible's right. Disobedient to parents. Let me hear some kids say amen. That's all right. We'll work on it. Without understanding means they won't read the Bible. Covenant breakers. You can't trust them. You cannot shake their hand and think that they're going to keep the deal. Without natural affection. That is Bruce Jenner. Okay? But it's not just him. It's people who have become perverted in their mind. Natural affection is what a man has for a woman or even a teenage boy has for a teenage girl. That's natural. That's natural. That's natural affection. God designed it. At a certain age, boys are looking at girls now in their classroom and, well, she's pretty. That's natural affection. Okay? Now we are filled in this country with unnatural affection. Implacable. I used to know what that was. Somebody look that up. Somebody look up, pull their phone out, look up implacable. Unmerciful. Hey, if you don't forgive others, you cannot be forgiven. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, as we are doing it. Unmerciful. And then verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Okay? There was somebody complaining about, I don't remember what it was, but anyway, there was one of these pictures showed up on Facebook or a story, and this gay pride parade was going on, and these men were doing unseemly acts there, right out in public in front of everybody. And they were talking about this mother standing there with her daughter doing it right in front of the daughter. And I'm going, the fault is with the mother. Why would you take your daughter to something like that? Amen? Not only are they worthy of death who do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We derive pleasure from watching other people's sins and iniquities. We do. And we are worthy of death. That is the works of your flesh. That's the lust of the flesh and the uncleanness of the flesh. Mark chapter 7. Turn there. Mark chapter 7. God has an order to everything. And there is a number associated with this. By the way, there's a number associated with this list in Romans chapter 1. There are 23 things in this list that if you do them, you're worthy of death. And the number 23 is the number for death. What does Romans 3:23 says? No, that's Romans 6:23. It's close, though. I was getting to that. Romans 3:23 is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 is, the wages of sin is death. What does the 23rd Psalm say? Yea, though I walk where? Through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what's in the 23rd chapter of the Bible? The whole chapter of Genesis 23 is about Sarah dying and them making the deal for the cave so they could bury her there. The whole thing is about death. Okay? This Bible has numbers all in it. And there are 23 things in here that if you do them, you are worthy of death. Amen? Mark chapter 7, there's a different list and a different number. Okay? So as we go through them, you count them and let me know what number you come up with. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. Bible says, and he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into man, it cannot defile him? Amen? Because they were talking about, oh, your disciples do this, and your disciples eat with unwashed hands, and that's bad. And Jesus said, you don't understand. You've been reading the commentaries of the law instead of reading the law. You don't understand that it's not what goes into the body that defiles you. It's what comes out of your body. And you just think about how, I've mentioned this before, but your body manufactures smelly, stinky, nasty stuff. Amen? That's all it does is manufacture stuff like that. So he says in verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. You know what the draught is? It's the toilet. Chamber pot or whatever. But that's what that's talking about, all right? Goes out in the draft and it purges all that bad stuff out of there. Now verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, number one, evil thoughts, adulteries. Adultery always starts in the heart of man or the heart of woman. It always starts there. Okay? Fornications. Murders. First degree murder is premeditated murder. Where did it start? Started in the heart, didn't it? Devised a way to do it. Let's see. Adult fornication, murders, thefts. The first time I ever stole anything was there used to be a butcher shop down here. The Wilbur brothers owned a butcher shop in Festus years ago when I was a little boy. I remember there was a man in there, one of the brothers, that he was about as broadside as a barn working in a meat cutting shop. And the reason why was he just ate trimmings all day long. Ugh! Well, one of my buddies, James Bond's little brother, Andy Bonds, told me that him and James, when they went in there, they were stealing candy and they were getting away with it. It was so easy. Well, that's all he did was tell me about it. Guess what? My old wicked heart started working. And the next time that his mom and my mom went together to Wilbert's Meat Market, we both, me and Andy, walked in there. And Andy was showing me how it's done. He said, see over there, there's the checkout. She's not seeing anything. So we were just stuffing our pockets. And all of a sudden, the woman behind the counter said something. We got scared. We run out of that meat store, run around to the side. We just dumped it. Looked like people on cops getting rid of their marijuana. We just throwing candy all over the place up there. Didn't want to get caught with it. Grief. I couldn't have been, I don't know, probably 6, 7 years old, something like that. But it was in my wicked heart. Boy, it was in my wicked heart. That came out of me. That was wicked. That defiled me. Anyway, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. The heart of man deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says. Lasciviousness. You know what that is? That's dirty-minded stuff. Think about dirty stuff all day long. Talking about dirty jokes and thinking of fantasizing about things. An evil eye. Looking at people the wrong way. Blasphemy. Pride. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. How many did you count in that? Did you count? How many did you get, Tammy? 13. Tammy, you get a free DVD from Prophetic Research Ministry. So does everybody else. It's 13 things here. You know what number 13 is? Let me run this. This is so neat. There's always a good and a bad to all these numbers in the Bible. Here's Jesus walking around with how many disciples? 12. How many is in that group? 13. Here's 12 tribes, and they have the tabernacle in the middle of them with God's physical presence right there in the cloud. It's 13. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13 has 13 verses in it, and you know what it is? It's the charity chapter of the Bible. The phrase, love of God, is mentioned 13 times in your Bible. 13 is the number for God's love and how God manifests His love. God's love is always a giving love that doesn't take anything to the person you give the love to. You're doing it because you love them. Amen? That's God. For God to put up with you and your sorry wickedness that comes out of your heart, He does it because He loves you. God gave His Son unconditionally to the entire world so that the whole world could be saved. Knowing that most of the world was not going to accept that. That's love. The opposite of that is harlot love. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There's 13 words there in the King James Bible in Revelation chapter 17. Harlots love for a return. They don't give gifts. They do what they do to get something back. That's wicked love. Amen? It's a number associated with false prophets and the beast. You can do your own. Genesis 13:13. Go read that verse and count the number of words in it. You'll get it. Read Deuteronomy 13. Read Acts chapter 13. Read Isaiah 13. Read Revelation 13. You go read Matthew 13. All of these, there's a consistent pattern in your Bible. How many times they march around Jericho? 13 times. One time a day for 6 days. 7 times on the 7th day. My math teacher told me that was 13. Long time ago they told me that. But here's what this comes out of your heart. 13 things coming up out of your heart. I got this little idea about the man of sin, the son of perdition. I think a little bit of it is right here inside of my old wicked heart. Amen? Needs to be crucified. Needs to be killed. Galatians chapter 5. Turn there. Galatians chapter 5. There's another list. It's another number, too. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, there's actually two lists. One is the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 things there. 9's a number for fruit bearing. Woman has a baby. Takes 9 months for it to cook in there. Okay? Sarah was 90 when she had Isaac. Isn't that neat? Okay? 9's a number for fruit bearing, and there's 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. But here, before that list, we have the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, before we read that, take your Bibles and hold your place there in Galatians and turn back to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul gives pretty much the same teaching and the same idea. He gives a little bit slant to it, but he helps us understand. And I've used this illustration before in kind of teaching this, and I like to remind people of things. I forget things. I can be reminded of it and so on. When I hear good preaching, a lot of times I'm hearing things that I've already heard, but I like to be reminded of it. And in Romans chapter 8, when we see the word Spirit there, don't isolate that to just the Holy Spirit. It is God's Holy Spirit. Yes, it is the Spirit of God's Son crying Abba inside of us. It is the Spirit of the Word of God. The words, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So think of these things combined when you look at that word Spirit. There's therefore, Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And you say, what does that mean? Think of Noah and eight people in the ark. There's not any condemnation to Noah and to his family because they are in Christ. They are in the ark. The rest of the world is being condemned. Noah and his family are not being condemned. God saved them and God protected them. God is keeping them. And to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Think about it. Your mind and your life, I appreciate what Chris said up here. He said every time I was down, he said I just read my Bible and God picked me back up again. He told me the other day before the trial was over with, he said, I was down, didn't have any sleep. He said, I just opened my Bible, reading in the Psalms. And he said, God just gave me a sweet peace. And he said, I just fell asleep. Felt good. God's good that way. Amen. But you have decided in your life that you're going to walk the way this Bible tells you to walk. Amen. Now your flesh wants to go another way. Your flesh is going to go another way. Your flesh is not redeemable. Amen. It's not redeemable. It's not savable. God's going to get rid of it and put it down on the ground, let it corrupt, and let that new thing come out of it. Amen. It's going to give you a new body. So you're walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, think about it, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is why you're here tonight. You didn't come here because I ordered you to, and I crack a whip on your backside and say, you better get to church on Wednesday night. I didn't do that. You said, Wednesday night, we got to go to church. That's what the Spirit wants you to do. Amen. You said, that's good for me. My flesh don't want to. I think my flesh can just rot in a grave somewhere someday. Amen. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your flesh ain't going to do right unless it's forced by your spirit, by your soul. But your flesh hates the law of God, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Your flesh hates it. God says, don't do this. And our flesh goes, really? Do what now? It's like some people, they see speed limit signs. They say, challenge accepted. They just take off. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Notice that he interchanged them in verse 9. He said the Spirit of God, and then he said the Spirit of Christ. Are there two different spirits? It's one and the same. Don't let anybody tell you, and one of the reasons why Chris and Tammy was here was they got tired of hearing that nonsense down to that church they were going to. They were telling them, oh, you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. You got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues and do all this stuff. And right here, if you are not, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, His Son living in you, you are not saved. And they'll try to tell people that you get saved, but you don't have the Holy Ghost in you. You have to go and have hands laid on you, or you got to perform tongues. You got to do a bunch of stuff in order to get the Holy Ghost baptism in you. That comes later. That's not what the Bible says. If you do not have the Spirit of His Son abiding in you, you are not God's son. Amen. That's good, Mike. Preach that. All right, I will. Amen. Now back to Galatians chapter 5. Here's the works of the flesh. In verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Always going to be known whose side you're on. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's interesting to me, the first four things on the list deal with almost identical ideologies. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I'm going to tell you something. What is going to mark this world and especially this country in the years that are now and in the coming years is that we are an adulterous nation. We are full of adulteries everywhere. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's a dirty mind. Idolatry. That's what covetousness. See, I don't have, bless God, I don't have idols. Paul said covetousness is idolatry. Because you've set a thing in this world in front of your eyes and you would do anything in order to attain that. He said it's idolatry. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I've said this before, I'll say it again. There's two religions, I think, in the world. There's Bible Christianity and witchcraft. Witchcraft is a performance-based receiving of a blessing or receiving of whatever it is that you're claiming. And it's based upon what you do or how you say things rather than just believing and trusting what God said. Remember what I asked you about eating food? When you eat bacon and tomato, who likes bacon and tomato sandwiches? Man, I can't pass them up. I don't understand why my body craves bacon and tomato sandwiches, especially this time of year when the tomatoes start coming in, but it does. I don't understand how my body takes all that garbage that I put in there and turns it into good energy. Amen? I don't understand it, but I know it works, so I keep eating. Amen? You may not know nor understand how the Word of God does what it does in you, but you know that it works. Keep eating. Amen? Amen. Why did I say that? I don't know. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, trying to be like the world, dressing like the world, combing your hair like the world, acting like the world, got your pants pulled down your kneecaps like the world. That's stupid. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's 18 things on here. Okay? I counted them. There's 18 things here. You know what that is? That's 6 plus 6 plus 6, in case you're doing a little adding in your mind. Okay? 18 is the number for bondage. Okay? 18 is the number for bondage. You do these things, you're in bondage to them. Sin has a hold on you. He said, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, Pastor, you're reading me, Romans 1, Mark 7, Galatians 5. You're reading me a list of things that I know I've been guilty of. I know that that's that right there. There's some of them I just don't mess with. But there are things in these lists that I've been guilty of. And I think it all goes back to Romans 7 and Romans 8 and having an understanding of that. Your flesh, look at it, what it says. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's wicked. It's got adultery, lasciviousness, fornication, uncleanness, thefts, murders, drunkenness, witchcraft, idolatry, covetous, emulation. It's got all that wicked, nasty stuff in it that doesn't go away. It's going to be there until the day you die. The best thing you've got to look forward to is to rid this body and leave it in this old evil world where it's going to be burned up with a hot fire and have God give you a new body that doesn't have all that nasty stuff in it. That's because you're a son of Adam. Your flesh is a son of Adam. But John teaches us that which is born of God sinneth not. My flesh was not born of God. It was born of, I almost said her real name. She don't like me to tell everybody. It was born of Judy and Milton Don Hoggard. Okay? And I guarantee you, I got in me what they had in them. I'm not any better than my mom and dad. I thank God I'm not any worse than my mom and dad. But I'm about the same. This body is wicked just like they were. My dad's body's now down in the grave and it's rotten and corrupting. And when I put his body down inside that ground, I wept. And I said, "He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I did not bury my dad. I planted the seed. And I let corruption take its course. I'm not going to see his new body or his old body in heaven. I'm not. I'm going to see the new big youngin, whoever, whatever God gives him the name of. That's what I'm going to see when I get there. Amen. Learn the difference between your flesh and your spirit. And learn that your soul craves to be out of that body. That's what Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, read them together, read them again. Paul said it very distinctly in Romans 7. That which I would do is what I don't do. That's what I want to do, I don't do. And he said, because I do the things in my flesh that I don't want to do, I'm just consenting that the law is good. I'm telling you that it's just proving the point. The law is good. And my body breaks the law. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Thanks be to God. Because of His Son, Jesus Christ, He is our deliverer. Can I hear you say amen? The false prophets, let me finish this up very quickly. The false prophets of the last days, they walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness. That means they do not have the indwelling Spirit of God in them. And there's another place, and we'll get to it. It may be in Jude. I may be kind of transposing it. But it says they have, I think it's in 2 Peter, they have eyes full of adultery and they cannot cease from sin. They can't do it. At least you have been given the power to say no. I'm not doing it. I'm not falling for it today, devil. I'm not having it. The Spirit of God gets in you strong, and you've got a chance now to say to your flesh, you just deal with it. You just do without. By the way, that's what I think fasting is all about. It's about your soul and your spirit telling your flesh, you ain't getting anything today, buddy. You just go hurting all day long, and I'll try to ignore you while you whine and complain. Amen? I'm going to serve God today. And that's what I think it's all about. Let's stand to our feet. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Appreciate Chris. And I tell you what, I've been praying for you, buddy. I really have. And I thank God for what He's done there. And just amen. Amen. You take that. And I like what I heard out of him a while ago. He said, it humbled me. And I'm going to tell you something. If everybody hearing my voice tonight can have a situation in life where God will bring them to their knees and humble them, you'll never regret it. I promise you, you will never regret it. Amen? Because God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That's who He does. He loves the people that are crying and weeping and are humbled before Him. That's who He loves.